Good morning, and welcome to your wake-up call. I'm Tana Hartman for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and our guest this morning is Jim White. He is chair of the Orange County Democratic Party. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
We're going to get right into it. The U.S. is in serious trouble, economically, politically, in a lot of ways, despite a new president who is a brilliant politician and has really galvanized people during the elections. But we are, I believe, in far greater trouble than most people realize, and certainly than our politicians want to admit. With the economy, health care, the wars on two fronts now, environment, education, jobs, and the list goes on. And the only way I believe that we are going to be able to avoid disaster worse than what we're seeing now is if ordinary people engaged, if they become involved and become active, informed participants in our own governance. Now, during the election, the Democratic Party did a fantastic job of galvanizing and engaging the population. And what I'd like to know is, what is it doing now to maintain that momentum and to build on it so that we don't lose whatever gains we have made, and that we can hold our politicians' feet to the fire now to make them do, like Obama said, you have to make me do it, you know, and I believe that's true.
I think you're right. I mean, I think you've hit what probably is a key issue we've got right now, certainly as a party. Tim Kaine, who's the new chair of the Democratic National Committee, was in North Carolina last week, and he was speaking about a new initiative of the DNC. Unlike most presidential campaigns, this was simply a completely different thing. I mean, we had a president who was elected in large part through grassroots activity, through reaching people who had never been part of this process before, and setting up organizations that were not merely Democrats, but included large numbers of independents, and large numbers of young people who had never been part of the process. After the election, the Democratic Party tried to figure out how to take that grassroots energy and make it part of the process. And I think, interestingly enough, I think that's one reason why Tim Kaine is actually the new chair. He's got, I think, a genuine commitment to grassroots politics, and something that the DNC is doing, which, to my mind, it's never done before, is it's keeping that Obama organization together as something called the Campaign for Change. And the Campaign for Change is an organization that's going to exist side by side with the existing Democratic Party, but have much more of a policy agenda. And its idea is to look at, how do you take this grassroots energy that people had and use it when there's an issue that comes along? I mean, use it when the president is trying to push a new budget, or use it when there's health care issues, and use it as a two-way street. I think certainly a problem that a political party has, and I think a problem that the Orange County Democratic Party has, and I think parties have generally, is that they're sort of like a, you know, relative who only comes to you to ask for money. I mean, basically what we do is go into communities when we need people, and that's usually when we've got somebody running for office, and ask for votes and disappear, and then come back 2 or 4 years later, ask for votes again and disappear. That's not a recipe for change. That's not a way to really have a genuine grassroots political organization. I think the vision is that something was touched, something changed this time around. And it's a kind of politics that people have done locally. I mean, it's the sort of thing that Paul Wellstone did. Mm. Just reaching into communities, identifying communities' needs, identifying community leaders. The Campaign for Change hopes to do that, continue as a policy organization. I mean, already, I mean, we've got a very strong OC3, the Orange County Campaign for Change here, is very strong. It's been very active. It's partnered with food banks, and I believe it's raised, it's at this point gathered something like 7 million pounds of food. It's a way to have that dialogue that I think is necessary for the organized party. I think that, again, we need to be something other than an organization that comes to you when we need you. Something that's very important to me as chair is something that I'm asking each of our precincts to do, which is a precinct service project. This being an off-year election and a municipal election, there are Democrats who are running as nonpartisan candidates, and municipal elections are important. But we've got a lot of people who are engaged, and what our precincts and what our party will be doing is looking at our community and looking locally here. What are our needs, and what can this body of people do to help fill them? We've got people who want to work in the community, and I think that I would like people to perceive a political party as being something other than a vote machine, as something that's actively involved. And I think for a county,
what would you like them to think of it? How would you like them to think of it?
I would like them to think of particularly a local party as a key part of the community. When people talk about grassroots politics, a grassroots political organization is an organization that listens. Before we went on the air, we were talking, there was this mention of how when you think of political parties, you think of, you know, the Chicago political machine or political machines. And I think there's a danger in an organization that is as structured as a political party, which starts with a national political organization, then you have a state organization, a district organization, a county organization, precinct organizations.
Typically, that's all top down.
Exactly, and it's a structure that breeds top down thinking because, it's kind of like General Motors. I mean, you've got layers of management, and it's hard in that structure to not think of yourself as a layer of management rather than as something that's more actively involved in the community. As chair of the party, that's one kind of thinking that I'd like to see change. A political party is naturally organized around precincts because that's where people vote. So it simply makes sense as a unit for us to divide ourselves into voting precincts, which gives us groups of anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 people who we're looking at, and the party dictates a certain structure to those precincts of a chair and a vice chair and an organizing committee, which again is a very top down structure. I think people need to begin to think about the party and the structure as being something different than that. I mean, we had a meeting of precincts last night, and I was talking about how merely because this looks like a top-down structure, it doesn't mean this has to be a top-down organization. To my mind, the most effective precinct is a team. I mean, it's a group of people who are from the community and know what's going on in the community and work collectively on the issues of the community. I think that for a political party, local political parties, if they're effective, are really their most powerful tool, because our precinct people are in the community, and our precinct people know what's going on in our community and what our local issues are, and if that can be communicated up, I think that we could be a much more effective political organization generally and a much more responsive organization generally.
But how do you? I mean, there's a. It's problematic because in order to engage the voters from the bottom up, at the very grassroots, the people from the top in the local, in the precinct, have to do some real work, because unfortunately, I agree with Naomi Klein, as a nation, we are accustomed to thinking whoever we elect is going to save us, and we sit there and wait for them to save us, and that's not going to happen in this case. So how do you get people engaged and active? And
I think you do it slowly, and you do it step by step. I think you're right. I mean, I think that, and I think the political structure has kind of reinforced this thinking. I mean, when you've got a party that comes to you as a, that is a vote machine, that comes to you when we need you and then ignore you, the thought is that the people you elect are the ones whose problems these things are. I mean, that basically the problems the country's facing, you know, we've elected President Obama. This is now his problem. You know, he's had 100 days. Why isn't it fixed? And these are our problems. And I think that something important that happened that can easily be lost in this last election is that people did begin to become engaged in the political process. And there sometimes is a small group of people who will tend to be more engaged than others. And I think that this election showed that folks who might not have thought that the political process was something that spoke to them, or that this was really something that they could make a difference in, or that they could be engaged in, these people became, I mean, you would have people who, I know one woman who's a nurse working 40 hours and then would work another 40 hours as a volunteer for the campaign. Didn't get much sleep during that campaign, but this was someone who'd never been involved in the process before. And you saw students who were really apathetic before this campaign came along, giving up, sometimes taking time off school to just work for a political campaign, and something they wouldn't have imagined 4 or 5 months before.
But isn't that because he inspired us? He spoke to, when he really got down to finally speaking to the issues that affect us, I mean, hit us really closest to home, that's when people said, okay, if he's really going to do this, I'm going to get involved. I will support him. So, but now that he is, there's a big difference between Obama the candidate and Obama the president. I mean, he's still the same man, but he is a man, and he is under tremendous pressures. And Washington, I don't think anybody has any doubt about it, Washington is basically owned by, you know, the corporations and a lot of, and big money. And so he has that pressure. For instance, we've seen, I mean, I was truly disappointed when he put Summers and Geithner, you know, in place. These are two of the architects of some of the policies that got us into this mess, right? And so they're in there now trying to bail us out. Well, this bailout is kind of a joke, because according to Bloomberg, we are now transferring something like $12.5 trillion from the public coffers into the private financial sector. So we have to stop that. We have to turn that around. We don't have any real, it still feels like we don't have any real input or influence at the upper levels. So how do we get from here at the grassroots level to making a real difference at the upper levels? How do we get from here to there?
That's an excellent question. And again, I think that kind of gets to the core of what our job is as part of the political party, and I think also what the job of the DNC generally is. I mean, first of all, I think in fairness to, in great fairness to the president, I mean, he inherited a mess of monumental proportions, and I just personally can't, I find it difficult to find fault in the way somebody is shooting water at a burning house. I mean, it's there definitely are things that need to be done differently, but we've got an administration that inherited a disaster that I think this country had just simply not seen, and we're now in 100 and some odd days into an administration that has taken some strong aggressive steps, and certainly there's more that's going to happen in the next 100, 200, 300 days. But in terms of how that moves from the community to the White House, I think there's a couple of things. First, I think there's a tendency at a local level to see a disconnect between the things that happen in our community and the things that happen nationally. In many ways, national issues become local issues. And I found that even within our party, we've got, in our resolution process, it's often, because what we'll do is we have resolutions that will come from our precincts, and then they'll move up to the district level, and then they'll move up to the state level. It is often easier to write a resolution on a national or international issue than a local issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it's more abstract. Something that I'd like to see happen next year is we're going to have workshops on writing resolutions, and try to get people to think about, if you look at an issue like global warming, it's not that hard to point a finger at someone who might need to change something. It's much harder to look at the same issue and figure out what do we personally have to change, or what does our community need to change. And I think as we look at these issues, I think the first step is a different way of thinking, and that thinking is an ownership of issues. It's deciding that if this issue matters, we need to look at a way that we can change it. And as a local organization, I think the first step to engagement is realizing that, yes, you make a difference. And I think that's one of the things that happened in the campaign. You had people who felt that even though millions of people were voting for this candidate, yes, I can make a difference in terms of my vote and the votes I get. I think on issues, people need that same mentality, that yes, there is a difference that can be made in this community. So I think it's a way of thinking. I think once we begin to see that, yes, there are things we can do here locally, I think that it's easier to get people engaged. It's harder to be engaged around something that seems either theoretical or just the solution is so removed that you can't do much more than just simply yell at people who are far away.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We're going to take a break here to mention our underwriter, the Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. The website is internationalistbooks.org. We thank the Internationalist, and they're a wonderful community resource. I use them, and I hope you will. We also want to say, give you our website for WILF, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. The local website is TriangleWILF, that's WILPF.org. And visit our website. You'll find links to, so that you can listen to our program archived. And we are back now with Jim White, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party. So we are back to a related, I want us to continue this discussion too, but I also want, since we are now more than halfway through our time, one of the key segments of our population is young people, 18 to 29 year olds, what's called the millennial generation. They are, in North Carolina alone, have grown some 61% over the past two decades. And in the next decade, they're projected, I guess nationally, I don't know what the local figures are, North Carolina figures, but nationally to increase at 4 million people a year. That's a big segment of the voting population. And, of course, not 100% of them are voting eligible, but a good, hefty chunk of them are. What's the Democratic Party doing to reach out to these young people, to keep them involved?
Well, I think that it's interesting because in many ways it's the same question.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us as a party right now, it is all the same question. I mean, I think that we've hit a point where, with this last election, the party reached into populations that it hadn't spoken to and hadn't reached into before. I think the engagement of this new generation of voters was an incredibly positive thing that came out of this last election, and I think we're going to see the ramifications of that over years to come. I mean, I think there's a whole new generation of leaders that really was created in this past election. People who might not have stepped up before have stepped up, and I think their lives are changed. And I think that we'll begin to see those people move into the spotlight 5-10 years down the road. So in some ways, the answer is that, I mean, a small piece, I think some of this generation has empowered themselves, and that things have changed in that regard. In terms of the party, in Orange County, obviously, we've got a large student population. And as an organizing entity, as a party, I mean, a problem that you've got with the student population is it's transient. So it's very difficult to build a lasting organization because there's not the institutional memory. The people who are there shift constantly. Party has an affiliate organization on campus of UNC Young Democrats, and the UNC Democrats are an active organization, and certainly something I want to do is make sure that the party works with them and gives them the support they need. I mean, it's interesting. We've got municipal elections coming up this year. For myself, when I was in college, something that I think the first time I'd actually become politically involved was when somebody who was running for alderman came and actually knocked on my door. I was living off campus, and I was registered out of state, and they came and brought a voter registration form, and then came back with the form, and seemed to care about what I thought on local issues, and I was floored, and actually went to their inauguration, just because I felt that this person had personally engaged me. I think candidates for in Carrboro and in Chapel Hill have an obligation to reach out to students. I mean, we've got students are notorious at not voting in municipal elections. Generally, people are notorious not voting. I mean, I was looking at the turnout numbers in 2007, and a good precinct had an 18% turnout.
Yeah,
dismal. It is dismal, but I think the candidates, and the party can help to a degree, but I think at a local level, it's the same thing we were talking about. If our local candidates can actually speak to students and make them feel that, yes, there's a reason for them to be engaged. I mean, I think this is a population that wants to be engaged. As we move into 2010 and we move into statewide elections and we're looking at a major Senate race here, I think that it's important that we reach to those same voters. And again, the burden is on us to explain why they should be engaged. And it's sort of a combination of being, of having a strong message and having a strong organization. And I think we need to have both. We need to have a way to reach students. And I think this campaign showed the power of just old-fashioned grassroots door knocking. I mean, mm-hmm. just going out, engage people.
And as you and our engineer Dick Paddock were talking about earlier, the use of the internet too has been key.
That's right. So. And that's something that actually for the party we're going to be changing. We have a website that's been there for a little while, and we're in the process of designing a new website that should be live by the end of June. And the idea behind it is to create a website that's much more interactive and is in itself an organizing tool. I mean, the website will be driven by our precincts, so there'll be basically 44 separate sub-sites, one for each of our precincts, and each precinct will have a blog, each precinct will have the ability to feed into our central calendar, and ultimately, all the members of the party will have the ability to have their own personal blogs. And the idea is that this will be more of a kind of an interactive site and a way to use the internet to organize our precincts, and also our subgroups will Democratic Women will have a piece on there. The UNC Democrats can have a piece of the website. I mean, the website will be owned by the members of the party.
We're closing in on our time, and we're going to have to wrap up, but one of the things that's also happening right now is that the right wing has recognized the value of some of what was doing. I mean, first of all, it seems to have taken more progressive segment of the population many years to catch on to something that organizer Derry Delgado had identified many, many years ago to what was happening. It's what you're talking about from the grassroots level up, that the Republicans had started to organize and to put people into positions of influence and power from the local level on up. And that put them in, gave a tremendous influence and power in government. Now, the Democrats seem to have caught up, have realized that, but also there is a new movement on the right that is growing and looking to engage the same population, to move them from being progressive to being ultra-conservative. So that's going to be a challenge, and I know, and I'm certainly hoping that it can be met effectively, certainly at the local level. And what are some of the key resolutions or key issues that you all are working on right now? Because before we wrap up, I'd like to for you to say a little bit about those.
Sure. I think in terms of issues, I mean, as I said, I mean, as a party, we've collectively we've spoken on made some good positions on national issues. I mean, we've got positions on justice, on the economy, on the environment, on foreign relations. Something that I think is important, though, as I said, is that we have a newly active policy and action committee, and something that the party is looking to do is to figure out how to take our resolutions. We have a resolution on, a general resolution on poverty and on budget policy. Mm-hmm. And to take that resolution and then determine what we can do with it beyond simply making the statement.
Right.
So what we want to do is become somebody who legislators listen to. We're going to take each of our resolutions. We had 20-some-odd resolutions come out of our convention and find the legislators who speak to those issues, find the legislators who speak to poverty issues, find the legislators who speak to environmental issues, go directly to them and sit down to express the views that our members have.
Mm-hmm.
And try to link those resolutions to active bits of legislation. We had a committee that looked at our resolutions to try to do some of that. For example, in healthcare, we've linked our support to the Single Payer Act.
Okay.
And in many ways, that's because the Single Payer Act is the place where healthcare reform will happen. And it's not clear ultimately what that act will look like, but that's the kind of the central rallying point for Congress. Mm-hmm. And something that Orange County has, thankfully, is a fairly sympathetic group of legislators. So it's important that we reach outside of Orange County in order to really bring about change related to our resolutions.
I certainly hope it happens. I am definitely rooting for you. Being a registered in one of those independents who this last time around voted Democratic. You also have a resolution on small-scale agriculture, which we don't have time to talk about, but that's
right.
An important issue in North Carolina. Thank you, Jim Holmes. I really appreciate you. Want to give the website and tell people to watch?
Sure. Our website is orangedems.com. Our new website will be live by the end of June. And thank you for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it.
And whom do people contact if they want to get involved with the Orange County Dems?
If you want to get involved with the Orange Dems, if you go to our website, you can email me directly at chair@orangedems.com. If you go to our website, there's a contact email address, contact@orangedems.com, and also a phone number. Feel free to call and get engaged.
Great. Thank you for listening, and tune in again next week. This is Tana Hartman for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We're coming to you from WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.